Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the 615 Sessions podcast on this Friday afternoon. Lovely to have you guys in here for another episode. Congratulations to you if you are a Tennessee Titans fan, not just because you're signing players all over the place, but because your longstanding national nightmare, i.e. Andre Dillard, is no longer a part of the team. There's a couple of news items that we're going to get to. But the main event is going to be Calvin Ridley. I sat down with him at the Titans facility today and talked to him after his press conference about a variety of different things. I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy the conversation with your new wide receiver who is here to help make things a lot easier on Will Levis, DeAndre Hopkins, Tajay Spears, Tony Pollard, and everybody else in between. But if you needed a signal that you were going to be drafting a left tackle in the very, very near future, the news today officially from the team that Andre Dillard released, they are incurring a $10 million cap charge to release him. They are not designating him as a post-June 1 release. So they said, no, we don't want to wait around for us to potentially save money to go through the spring with him on the roster, get out of town. Take your bags. We're going to put you in an Uber economy, and we're going to send you straight to hell. So, Andre Dillard out. Mike Vrabel, he has a new job as well. Just a couple of quick notes, news items, before we get to the Calvin Ridley interview. Mike Vrabel hired today by the Cleveland Browns in an advisory capacity. Personnel is what he is going to be working on. He is technically a member of the coaching staff, yes, but he is there to serve as a personnel advisor, which, of course, famously cost him the job, his desire to have roster control in Tennessee. Clearly, Mike thinks that he has got something to offer with the signing. But Titans releasing Andre Dillard as well, a massive failed experiment, as I saw my buddy Paul Kaharski tweet today, of which they should be ashamed of. Shame on them for giving 3 years, $29 million to an actual turnstile of a human being. We're happy to have you guys in here. Before we get started, need you all to share the broadcast around on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, which we always appreciate. If you're hanging out on Twitter, please retweet the show. It's in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. If you're on Facebook Live, you can share. Share now to public. That's in the bottom left. YouTube, Twitch, like the video, subscribe to the channel. We would be grateful for you that way. 615 Sessions podcast is made possible by Zen Sports. Download the app, plug in the promo code ATOZTN, get up to $1,000 on your no danger first wager. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Getting some questions about cap space. Titans are taking a dead cap hit in releasing Andre Dillard, which should be noted. Now, they had banked on this. They were prepared for this, and the cap space that the Titans had heading into this offseason did also include the $10.7 million cap hit that Andre Dillard stood to make. They are going to lose money on this deal. They're not going to save it. If they waited until after June 1st, they could get about $2 million back. They said, no, get him the hell out of here. It's not worth the $2 million. Now, as Isaac asks, how much cap space is left? I'm not going to do that because we still don't have all the details on all the contracts. There's no way for me to accurately answer that question. In fact, we just got Calvin Ridley's cap implications today. We don't have cap hits, 2024 cap hits yet for Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph. Kenny Pickett was traded today. A lot of quarterback trades, by the way. That entire Malik Willis and your boy, Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, they're the only two quarterbacks who were drafted in the 2022 draft class of Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, Sam Howell, that are still on the roster of the team that drafted him. It may be the worst team, worst quarterback draft of all time when all is said and done. We'll see what happens with Pickett. Obviously, he's played in a Super Bowl. Patrick Bird says, Dillard, a June 1 cut. No, he's a pre-June 1 cut, not a post-June 1 cut, which means that you're eating about $7 million to get him out the door. But those two news items, thought we'd note off the top. The rest of the podcast is just going to be my sit down earlier today about, you know, 4 or 5 hours ago with Calvin Ridley. We got him for a good 20 minutes after the press conference today. I know you guys are really going to enjoy the conversation. I appreciate Bert for setting it up. I appreciate you guys spending some time with us on our Friday or on this Friday. Now here is new Titans wide receiver, Calvin Ridley. Where new Titans wide receiver Calvin Ridley is hanging out with me in the Dr. Doom room. The Robert Brazil room here at the facility. My man, that was an electric press conference. Congratulations on your new deal. And I know Titans fans are happy to have you here.
Thank you, man. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So for you, there has to be so many different emotions and so many things going on, especially this being truly the first time that you've been a free agent. What was kind of that like on you and your family and your reps? I mean, I know it had to have been a little touch and go there for a couple of weeks.
Oh, man. It was exhausting, honestly, because it was a good exhausting.
Yeah.
Because, man, you know, those numbers that you hear, and you're like, man, it's kind of overwhelming.
Honestly. Yeah.
It's just really overwhelming, but it's a blessing. And I'm excited to be here. And thank God, you know, Titans gave me an opportunity, gave me that call. And I'm just ready to showcase my talent.
So for people who have not – don't ever get to see that kind of money right in their lives, right? When you talk about the numbers floating around, what do you kind of do to keep yourself centered in a situation like that? Because this is generational, life-changing wealth. This is going to help you and your family for years and years to come. How do you kind of keep the main thing, understanding the money obviously is important.
All right. So for the first couple of days, like as the process was going, I felt okay. And it didn't happen. I just started feeling like overwhelmed or just very excited until the day that I got the call. And it was like, we're going to give you this. I was like, oh, my feelings were just way. So I would get on the phone with my boys and I would tell them how I was feeling. They would just be like, one of my boys is very into, you know, his mental and just being, you know, at peace.
Sure.
So he I was telling him how I'm like, bro, I'm all over the place. I'm just moving, walking right now. I'm just don't know how to feel. You know what I'm saying? So he sent me some music, some peaceful music. And I got on that. And
a little Zen.
A little Zen. So just to move me out, just to get my anxiety a little down. I'm ready, bro. I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying? So I did that. And, you know, I just had to see my wife, talk to her and just be like,
yeah.
So, you know, once we got past that and we got here and got up, it kind of the jitter started to go. And it's still a little in there right now, but I feel pretty good.
Well, sure. It's an exciting time for you, for your family, as you mentioned, and for all the people who have helped you get to this point. And obviously your experience has been so unique to go through the 2 years that you had, have the year in Jacksonville after a full year out of football, and then to rebound the way that you did. I know it wasn't entirely smooth sailing in Jacksonville. That's been discussed plenty. But for you, what was the biggest lesson that you learned from last year specifically, once you were back into things and started to kind of feel it out again?
The biggest thing I learned is, you know, no matter even how hard I work, I got to take it over the top every time because, you know, my hard work, you know, you don't see the hard work that we put in. You just see the game, right? I worked so hard, but sometimes it wasn't, you know, coming to how I wanted to be. So after the season, I said, "Hey, I worked hard though. I mean, it didn't go how I wanted. I mean, I got to work even harder. So I just got to put myself in a position to, you know, slow down in those moments and nail those moments, so that I'm not having regret at the end of the day. So that's kind of how I look at it. I hate regret."
Titans wide receiver Calvin Ridley hanging out here with us at the facility, just signed his new deal, just gave his press conference and getting ready to do the full media tour after this, I'm sure. But for you, you mentioned, you know, Jacksonville and having interest in going back there, and ultimately it didn't come out. And you mentioned your level of comfort. What was the thing that kind of lessened that comfort level for you that might have forced you to make a decision or pushed you in a different direction than you otherwise would have considered initially? Because it's tough to kind of have a bunch of stuff out there about you when you know how it actually went down. And, you know, the ability to set the narrative straight is important.
Yeah. It was just more like, you know, I was raised under in my first years, Atlanta, and I had, you know, vets, grown men, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, very, you know, vets. You don't really gotta mess with them. They, you know, they're gonna train, they're gonna work out, they're gonna come to work, they're gonna play good in the game. You know what I'm saying? So I was used to that, you know, and learning from, you know, I learned all the stuff I was bringing to Jacksonville from, you know, them.
Yeah.
And I thought I had it. You know, I'm going to be all right. You know, y'all tell me what y'all need me to do. I'm going to tell y'all, and this is how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it good for you. So once, you know, it was just a little weird and, you know, I wasn't, you know, being able to do the things how I wanted to do it and all that. I was just, you know, sometimes it would get me out of, you know, get mad. And then, you know, now I'm like out of the game, and it's just something I have to deal with that I can only explain and make sense to me, because it was just things that, like I said, made me uncomfortable.
For you, as you talked about at the press conference, the Titans were in it initially, and then made an offer to your representation about that. What, how much of that did you want to be like dialed into, or did you, are you one of these people that just prefers to, you know, I have an agent, they handle the contract negotiation, you let me know what the best, what you think the best thing is, and then I'll ultimately make the decision. What was your kind of approach to free agency?
Yeah, this is obviously, this is my first time in free agency. My approach was, is like you said, I was going to let my agent pretty much do all the work and all the talking. And that's what I did. He did all the work and all the talking, but
you're a pretty good agent.
Once it was all over, obviously I got on the phone with you know, the GM and coach and everybody. So, but yeah, I had to let my agent handle that because this is my first time in free agency, and he's the professional at that, and I just had to let him work.
What was the conversation like with Rand? You mentioned GM and head coach Rand and Brian Callahan here. What was the conversation like when you ultimately figured out, all right, this is what it's going to be?
Yeah, the GM, man, he said some of the things that just made me instantly like him.
Yeah.
You know, he instantly was like, you know, we're going to treat you like a man. You know, we're going to put you, you know, in positions to, you know, that you want to be in, and, you know, and then he told me a little bit about his background and where he was from and everything, and I can relate to him a little bit, so I kind of was like, I like him a lot just from that conversation. And obviously I came up here today and, you know, hung out with him for a couple of hours, and you know, he's really good with my daughters and my wife. So
easy person to talk to, Ram.
Easy person to talk to, and I really like that, so I'm excited to continue to see him every day or whatever, and get up here and start working, man.
Now, obviously, you know, so early in the process, you know, how you guys are going to go about things ahead of training camp and the regular season, this, that, and the other, very premature. But what about what you know of what they ran in Cincinnati excites you about the possibility of this offense now that you have Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, you got DeAndre Hopkins opposite you, and this is all before they add pieces in the draft. What are the things that excite you the most about playing in a system similar to what they ran in Cincinnati?
I know they pass.
Yeah, they like to pass.
Right. I know they like to pass, and I, you know, I know the two backs that we have. They're really, really explosive backs and quick. And obviously, D Hop is over there. But I think with those already, you can do so much. And I'm the type of guy. You could be creative with me. You could put me anywhere, and I'll do my best to make, you know, some shape. But I'm crazy excited about it. I love passing game.
Yeah. They like it around here. I mean, we had Callie on at the combine. All I took away from that puff was a lot of touchdowns. A lot of touchdowns in the future.
And that's my plan. I plan to score a bunch of touchdowns.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you mentioned the versatility and the way that you're going to be able to now move around the formation and stuff like that. That wasn't exactly what they were doing with you in Jacksonville, and situation was different. Your personnel was different there. What do you think that is going to, what, I guess, where do you see yourself fitting best within a system like this, understanding that Hop can really be a true, you know, line of scrimmage X outside wide receiver?
No, I could be the outside guy, but you also just don't, I'm a route runner. Don't limit my routes either. Then I could be an outside guy. I could be an inside guy every now. I'd rather be an outside guy than an inside guy, but just don't limit my routes.
Right.
You know, let me run everything across the field. I could be a 4-1 guy across the field, is what I'm saying, because I have creativity to get open. So let me run them all. Literally. Let me run all the routes.
How much can that help define the throw for a quarterback? Because this is obviously a young player in Will Levis. He's heading into his second year. He's
He's getting a lot of support around him this offseason as they try to improve upon their situation from the past two seasons where it's been a bit of a struggle. How much can a player like you, who understands that route craft at such a high level, help to find the throw for the quarterback?
Can help him a lot. I mean, that doesn't just come from, you know, practice. Me and Will have to go to the field. We got to go to the field. We got to talk. We got to throw. We got to talk. We got to talk.
He's a talker.
we gotta be on the same page. We gotta know how I like it. I gotta know how he likes it. Most importantly, I gotta know how he likes it. Yeah. Because I want him to be real comfortable, and he should be real comfortable, because you know that's what's gonna make him throw that accurate pass and that, you know, put that nice touch on it when he's comfortable. But we have to talk. We have to communicate and get on the same page, and you know, who knows what'll happen.
For you, what was that like with Trevor Lawrence? Because Trevor, you know, a little further in his career, but at that, I think Trevor was in year three last year, heading into year four. What was kind of that dynamic like, and how much did that help you? Because, of course, as you mentioned earlier, Matt Ryan was you know, a former NFL MVP. This is somebody who had a player like Julio Jones who had a certain system and a certain routine and understood all the level of detail as a veteran quarterback to expect those things and to help his skill position players, I'm sure, understand the kind of stuff that you're talking about. This is how I like this route depth, this, you know, this particular angle, whatever the case might be.
Yeah. Me and Trevor, like once I got
they picked the mic up a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Now
you're all good. I know it doesn't feel like a radio show. I was hanging out in here chopping it up. But yeah.
Once they let me back into the league, me and Trevor went instantly throwing. So we were trying to get, you know, the timing down and, you know, get the chemistry down a little bit, which, and then, I mean, the first couple sessions were like really, really, really good. And so that let us know that, all right, we're going to be at least decent. So, yeah. And, the same thing with Will. I mean, we'll just get right to it right away. And, the speed, he has to see how fast I can run. He has to see, you know, how I stop and how I cut. Cause I do it a little different than some other receivers. And, you know, so once we do that, and do it a lot, that's what you do.
Now that you're back into it, you know, I'm sure that the 2 years ago you barely think about it anymore, although it may inform how you go about.
Yeah, I'll never.
So what about it won't you ever forget? Because that, like I mentioned earlier, it's just such a unique situation that you were kind of dropped into the middle of it. And, you know, of course there's accountability there as well.
Yeah.
But for you, this is for every player that comes through this league, it can be cold at times. You find out probably who's riding with you and who's not. Obviously, your family is there to support you through all of it. But what did you kind of learn about the people who you had in your life at the time and people who may have come through that with you on the other side to help you become the person and player that you are at this point?
You know, when you go through something like that, everyone's going to show their hand. Everyone's going to flip their hand around and, all right, this is what I got. So instantly I was like, okay, I see how it's going already. I see how people are acting. I'm going to leave the season right now. I'm only hurting my team.
And this was in 21.
This is 21.
Yeah.
I'm hurting my team. I'm hurting myself and I'm hurt. I am honestly hurt. I left the team. And then I started to see how people would be, you know, good and bad. So some people would be good about it. Some people would be bad about it. And, you know, honestly, I didn't care because I was doing something that I had to do for me, my family, and honestly for the team, because I was hurting them and I was hurting myself. So once I did that, I went home. I did a lot of things, you know, to, you know, get better, therapy, everything, talking to my wife, hanging out with my kids. And that was honestly the most time I ever hung out with them before. Cause I was always at work.
Sure.
Bro, I've literally hung out with my daughter for a year and a half, every day waking up, just chilling with her, having fun. You know what I'm saying? So once, you know, like I said, I was at home and I'm realizing how people are, I started just not care anymore because forget y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all showed me your hand. You were bluffing me the whole time I was around you. So it's okay. But my family stuck it out with me. They didn't, you know, they didn't make me feel weird. I mean, not one day. They didn't make me feel weird not one day. And they just had the faith, man. They had the faith that, you know, we were going to get back into the league. We're going to come play, watch you play. We're going to do everything that we used to do. And, you know, by God's grace, he showed us that hand and he gave us back.
I personally am a big believer in therapy. I go to therapy. I feel like for men in particular, there's a stigma, and maybe that's gotten less. I know people like Kevin Love in the NBA have advocated very, very much for mental health and how much of a difference it can make in your personal life and your professional life, everything. How much of a value did that prove to you throughout the course of that process?
Yeah, man. I come from the toughest of the toughest of, you know, my hometown city. I mean, if you walk down the street, if you walk in other neighborhoods, you gotta be tough. So once these things started coming on to me, I was like, oh. And once I learned and educated myself and had to spend money to educate myself.
Sure.
I said, everyone has this. I said, you would be lying if you don't have mental health. You would be lying to me if you told me that I just spent this money. I just educated myself to learn about what's going on with me. And I went and learned, you have mental health too, bro. And I'm not trying to break you down and say that, but if I have it and I learned the definition of it and all these meanings of it, you have it too. There's no way. We all live on earth. How don't you have mental health?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's a hard place to be. And that's what makes it a beautiful thing too. But there's no way you can't sit here and tell me you don't have mental health.
No, listen, I got plenty of puffle tag. I got plenty of problems. All right. I'm not as bad as anybody.
But, you know, once I learned this stuff, a million people will sit right here and tell me they don't. But I'll sit here and be like, yeah, you don't. But in my head, you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What are you hiding from?
You don't have to convince me, bro. I have mental health sometimes. It comes in and out. I'm happiest than I can ever be in my life right now. So it's not affecting me at all. But I know it's around the corner somewhere. But like I said, I use these tools I have. So if it comes back, I'm going to kick his ass.
You're prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Calvin, it's been a great pleasure to meet you. It's been a great pleasure to chop it up with you. Unfortunately for you, you're going to have to do a lot more of these throughout the course of the coming 4 years here in Tennessee. But I know Titans fans are excited for you. The idea of playing the Jags twice a year.
Man, like let's that? Go.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
We'll take a quick break here from the facility. Lucas will join us back at Bridgestone. Calvin Ridley kind enough to give us some time. You got a message for Titans fans on the way out the door?
Tighten up.